Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is chapter 4 of Ephesians. And let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. Because by your word, faith in your word, that we stand. By faith we're saved. And therefore, you paid a great price for our salvation. You gave yourself to show us how much we're worth. We are your pearl of great price. The great price you paid for us, your pearl of great price, is your life. Your life. And you gave your testimony to us. And you gave us instructions of what we're supposed to do. You are our pearl of great price, and we are to buy of you, buy you, buy everything you say, do everything you say. Lord, open the hearts and souls of everyone that listens to this tape and fill it with the true meaning, with a knowledge of what they're worth, that each member of the body of Christ is meaningful, and that the body cannot function properly without each one of the members that you paid the great price for. Each one of us is worth a lot, more than can be comprehended. You paid the price for each and every individual in the body. So, Father God, let all the words open into open hearts, enter into open hearts, and let them never forget the message that you have prepared for us from even before the foundation of the world, for this very moment in time. Thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's start out with the intro.
Some Christians feel that they are not good enough to be an example for others. They realize from time to time that they need other Christians, but they find it hard to believe that their testimony of their deliverance could help anyone else. The Apostle Paul...
Now that's why a lot of people don't go to churches, because they don't value the price that Christ paid for them, and they forget that each person is an intricate part of the body of Christ and needs to be a working member in the body of Christ. Otherwise, you forget what value has been placed upon your life. Christ paid his life for you, and so you're a pearl of great price to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Even though you don't think much of yourself, and other people don't think much of you, Christ thought much of you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
The Apostle Paul tells us, quote, "Just as our human bodies have many different parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body."
Now, I elaborated on some of this yesterday, but I wanted to say it again, because it's important that everybody realizes who they are, and they learn what function it is, what part of the body of Christ that they are. Because if you don't know what part of the body of Christ you are, then you don't fit. You're not fitting. You don't know where to fit in so that you can be an asset to the church. Then what?
We are all parts of Christ's one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all...
Right, like the toe, as I mentioned yesterday, has a certain function. Does anybody want to be without their toe or their little finger? There's something that it does. Amen?
Amen.
Even my fingernails, I want them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, each, the Lord numbers every hair on our head. So he must really care about us. Okay, when we get older, he doesn't have so many to number. Right? Okay, then what?
And since we are all one body in Christ, we, in love, are not opposing each other, but work all of us on the behalf of Christ. To do a work for Christ...
For Christ and for one another. We're to be working on the behalf of one another and for the purpose, that's the purpose that Christ called us for, that we, Jews and Gentiles, love one another and work together so that the body, the body is functioning, the church is functioning as the Lord wants it to. Okay, then what?
To to do a work for Christ, we must all be in Christ doing His will. Romans 12:4-5.
Yeah, if you're not doing the will of the Lord, you're not in the body, and the body, you're not helping the body function. And you are a specific member of the body, so you have to realize, you have to come to the knowledge of who you are in the body and be there. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're worth a lot. Christ is a lot. Amen?
Amen.
And He spent Himself for us and purchased us with His blood. Okay, then what?
Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Mm-hmm. I don't have my little finger on my right hand. There's no other part of my body that has the same office as my little finger on my right hand, okay? I don't have two little fingers on my right hand, all right? I think Goliath did. I don't know, he had six, some giant had six fingers and six toes, you know, on each foot, on each hand. But it seems like the majority of us have five fingers on each hand and five toes, right? So we'll go with the majority, right? Okay, then what else?
We are God's masterpiece, His body.
Right, it's masterfully put together with individuals, and Christ paid the price for each one of us, and our testimony and our place in the church is valuable. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us many years ago. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Then what?
To have a clear view of where we fit in the body of Christ, we need to see that God has a purpose for our life.
Yeah, if you don't see that God has a purpose for you in your lifetime here, well then you don't consider yourself to be a member of the body of Christ. Now if you begin to realize that you are a member of the body of Christ, then there's a purpose in the body for you. And if you never think about that, or meditate on it, then how can the body, the church, function with you when you're not in the body, or you're not even considering yourself to be a member of the body? You don't think yourself worthy to be a member of the body. If you weren't worthy, then why did Christ die for you? Amen?
Amen.
Why did He spend Himself, which to me is my pearl of great price? He thought that we were, it seems to me that He thought that we were even more valuable than His Son because He let His Son be killed for us. Amen?
Amen.
That's powerful to me. Amen?
Amen.
That God would give His only begotten Son so that you could be born again in the Spirit and be a viable member of a special member of the body of Christ. Now that's how much He thinks of you, that He actually let His own child, His only begotten child, to be slain for you. Now if that has no meaning to you, then it's no wonder that God sends people to hell. Amen?
Amen.
That's very meaningful. Right?
Amen.
That's just like incredible. This is what Christmas is all about. Amen. Amen. He was born to, and died to give us a place in His body. And we're to meditate on what part of that body we are. And to be sure that we take our proper place. Don't try to take my place, because I'm not going to try to take yours. All right, I found my place. The Lord pointed it out to me. And if you're in the Spirit, He'll point the place out to you as well. Amen?
Amen.
You know what you can do. He's given us all special gifts and talents. Amen?
Amen.
Think about it. It's important. It's the most important thing in the world for you and for me. Okay, what else?
God created each of us with abilities and talents. He likens us as parts of a body where every part is needed for the proper working of the whole.
Right. Now, in a car, an automobile, you know, there has to be, if it's an 8-cylinder car, you got 8 spark plugs. The car is not going to operate without one of them. Amen? Well, it's just a small, meaningless-looking piece of junk outside of the car. If you take it away from the car, it doesn't mean anything. Okay? But the car is not going to run. Amen? But it really is something if it's reconciled back into where it goes in the car. Then the car runs really nice and smooth. Amen? Providing you put gas in it. And oil. Right? And water. You understand?
Yes.
So no matter how small you think you are and how insignificant a spark plug, somebody puts a spark plug in my hand, it's like meaningless to me, worthless, you know, it's no value. But if they tell me, I go up to my car and I find out the car doesn't start, and they say, the spark plug in your hand is for this car. Then I say, oh, God, this is a valuable spark plug. Amen?
Amen.
Get the spark plug, this little meaningless piece of looking junk, back in my car so this big, nice car can roll down the streets. Amen?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's where you may think of yourself as even less than a spark plug. But nevertheless, the Lord called you for a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
And that purpose is a special place in the body of Christ. And don't ignore it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
If you would isolate any one part of a body and examine it apart from its proper place among the other members, it would seem to be worthless, useless.
Yeah, it's like a spark plug in your hand. You throw it in the trash. You go out to the car, don't work, you come back into the trash and start looking around for it, right? Okay, so don't throw yourself in the trash. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think of yourself as unworthy. Unworthy to be in the place where the Lord put you? If the Lord thinks you're worthy enough to be in that place, then be in it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Only when it is connected to the body doing its proper job that God gave it, is it worthwhile and useful.
Yeah, if you're outside the body, you're nothing. You're as worthless as a spark plug without the car. Or a button without the suit. Some people take a button into the tailor and say, build a suit around me. God bless you, you're crazy. But you don't want the suit without the button, and the button without the suit, right? Okay, then what?
This is the way it is with us. We need to find the place where our talents and abilities can be used to help others do the work of the Lord. Only then will we be able to know what God created us to be.
But we can't know what we are if we're not in the body. And then you look at the church, and the body is not functioning properly. Is it because you're not there? Or that you haven't taken your proper place in the body? Check it out with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
To pray without ceasing, that's a good reason to pray. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
God loves us and wants to help us know our place in the body of Christ and our unique purpose in life for Christ. Chapter 4, Unity in the Body.
Unity, we have to be unified in the body, just like the spark plug in the car has to match up with everything else in there, amen? Can't be too hot of a spark plug or too weak of it. Has to be one that gets along with all the other parts of the body in the car, amen?
Amen.
Can't be a dead spark plug. Or just take a wire out. Never again. I took my car to way back many years ago to a Cadillac dealer because it wasn't running right. And this guy put it on the machine, and about 10 minutes later, he just stuck his hand in right where he knew where it was, and he just pulled this wire out. And it was looked like a serpent because it was kind of like a snake. And that was the problem. After he took that out and replaced it, the car ran just like a top. So we got to function, right? We have to be in the Spirit in order to function properly in the body of Christ, in the automobile. Amen?
Amen.
So that the automobile can speed down the streets. It's got plenty of power with it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Therefore I, a prisoner for the purpose of serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults.
Now, not condoning them, but, you know, when you see a person... Now read from the King James.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Yeah, forbearing one another in the keeping of God's commandments. I mean, if people are keeping God's commandments, don't get uptight about that, all right? And don't start bringing false accusations against them. And if they have problems, well, if you're keeping the commandments and everything, that would, if it's a definite working member of Christ's body, they will be convicted by the way you are, by Christ in you, and they'll repent. Okay, without screaming and hollering match. Amen?
Amen.
Unless you've got some devil or something like that, and then the pastor takes care of that. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
The oneness of the Spirit. Okay. Then what?
There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Mm-hmm.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Okay, now read my version of this, my comments. That which I have written, then what?
Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, the way you keep his commandments. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit, and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body, we have the same Spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future.
Yeah, we have a glorious future. God called us out of this world and out of hell, because tells us, and he can't lie, that we have a glorious future. Okay, if we continue on in the faith. If. Right? Then what?
There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all.
Okay, now read that up to that point in the King James.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
And over us all. I mean, it's the same meaning, okay? Then what?
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Now again, grace is not undeserved favor. That we're saved by grace means that we're saved because we have faith. Amen? We've given the power of God because we have faith. Yet if we have faith, then we deserve it. So it's not undeserved. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't say that if we have faith that it's we don't deserve salvation, because the Lord says that we deserve to be saved if we have faith. So grace means not doesn't mean undeserved favor. It means the power of God. The Lord has given the power of God unto us because we have faith in his words. Amen.
Amen.
They say, by the undeserved favor of the Lord. Well, if we don't deserve to be saved, then why are we saved? Because of the goodness of God? No. He says, because you have faith. Amen?
Amen.
We're saved not because of the goodness, just the goodness of God. We're saved if we have faith. Amen?
Amen.
By faith ye are saved. Amen?
Amen.
Not just because God's good. Amen?
Amen?
We have to do something too. What? We have to have faith. Amen?
Yes.
And by faith you're healed. Okay?
Amen.
So we deserve healing if we have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And we deserve salvation if we have faith. And we deserve to enter into the kingdom of God if we have faith. That is an undeserved favor. We deserve it. Amen?
Amen.
And why do we deserve it? Because we have faith. Amen?
Amen.
By faith, we are qualified to enter in. It's like the money. Our money is faith. We can't buy our salvation with money. Believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So it's deserved if we have faith. Oh God, then, if we don't have faith, then oh God, give me faith. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for it. Amen?
Amen.
Give me faith in God to be saved, and also faith, Lord, in your word that tells me that I can't sin anymore. I have to stay in the spirit in order to not sin anymore. I have to stay in the body, in the spirit. Amen? To stay in the body, even. So people have to stay in the spirit to even get the gumption, the energy, to the fear to go to church. Okay? Are you in church now?
Yes.
Good. Is the Lord in you?
Yes.
Then you're a church, right?
Yes.
But you're not to forsake yourselves. Forsake gathering yourselves together in a gathering place, especially as you see the time of the Lord's coming back to earth approaching. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Do you know what that means, or is that just so much mumbo-jumbo to you? Read what I said.
However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captive prisoners and gave gifts to his people.
Right. He took a group of captives and gave gifts. They became his people because they're now slaves of the Lord. And he gave gifts to his slaves. Amen?
Amen.
His servants. And we're not really servants, we're slaves because, again, I've said this before many times, servants are hired. They can go home at night, but slaves are owned. Okay? You can't go do what you want. You can't go where you want. You're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And before that, you were a prisoner of Satan. Okay? So you went and did what he said. Whenever you become inflamed with temptation and lust, you would do what he says. But when the Lord gives you the power of the Lord is in you, you're no longer a slave to temptation and lust. Right?
Right.
Okay, so he takes and takes the captives, a whole group of captives away from the devil. Amen?
Amen.
A whole bunch of captives. The same one that ascended on high. He also came down to earth. Amen? He came down to earth first. Why? So that he could loose us and take us former captives with him, and so that he could give us gifts, so that we could use those gifts here on earth in the church. Amen?
Amen?
And in this world. Some people act sad at this because they just feel, I don't want to do that. I want to live in my lusts. And, of course, that means they want to go to hell, but they think that some miracle is going to happen if they live that way and that they're not going to hell. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't live according to this gospel, the truth, you will be in hell. And you're not going to like it. You're going to curse yourself eternally for not believing the gospel and doing what it says. Then what?
Take note that the word says, quote, he ascended.
Yeah, the Lord ascended. Amen. Take note to that. Take notes. Then what?
What this means is that Christ first came down to our lowly, sinful world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens.
And when he ascended higher than the other heavens, he took captives with him. Amen. He came down and rescued us. Yet when we were bastards, We didn't have him, God for our Father. He came down here, Christ did, and took us captive, made us his captives, and took him, us with him, and gave us gifts. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, that his rule might fill the entire universe.
Right, because he took rule over Satan down here, freed us, and gave us power to rule over Satan, and over ourselves. Amen? We have to purpose to rule over ourselves, to do what the Lord says. Okay, now read it to that point in the King James.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended...
Okay, we were captive and he took us captive. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
That he may have rulership over everything. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make you happy or morbid?
Happy.
Good. Let's talk about things, happy things. Amen? Okay, then what?
Psalm 68:18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord...
What gifts did he receive from men? Salvation, amen?
Amen.
And heirs and joint heirs with him and all the other gifts. I mean, it's just so many gifts that I'd spend all afternoon here talking about them. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to talk about it all the rest of my life. There's no time to see. You can't do it in an afternoon, can we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what?
Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them.
And not only among us, but in us. Amen? Okay, then what?
He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers.
Right. Now, go ahead, keep reading a little bit more.
Their responsibility is to equip God's people to...
Whose responsibility?
The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers.
Yeah. We have a responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
Do you think that you are not called to teach or do something, be a part of the body of Christ? Do you think that you have no value? Is that what you think?
No.
Okay, then what? Then what?
Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ.
Okay, building up the church means winning souls. Amen? And to make sure people are reading and praying, that you're reading and praying with them. Amen?
Amen.
And bringing messages to them, or making sure that they hear the messages. If you cannot preach like Peter and you can't pray like Paul, you can sure tell people about Jesus. And you can also, if you can't even talk, you can give my tapes to them. Amen?
Amen.
Or you can read the Bible to them. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm doing, because a lot of people haven't been reading the Bible. So that's the very purpose why the Lord told me to start reading the Bible to you. Does it help?
Yes.
It would have helped if you read it yourself too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we don't get the same out of it. Well, you might get something else too. Amen?
Amen.
How do you know you won't get anything out of it? If you ponder it, if you meditate on the word long enough, you'll get something out of it. If you ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord.
Okay, now read it from the King James after that, from where I left off to that point.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Because he cares about his body, his church, his bride, the New Jerusalem. What else is there? Sex? What sex? Wait till you, people that live for sex or food or whatever, wait till you see the glories of heaven, and then you'll see how worm-like that is, okay? Like cancerous. Amen?
Amen.
You must be taught a lesson that the Spirit reigns, rules, amen?
Amen.
And that there's nothing in the world of any value except what we receive when we receive heaven in our hearts from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't come by observation. It's within, okay? Then what?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
Until we become mature. A perfect man is mature. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Might as well say it the way it is. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Until you completely grow up in the stature of the fullness of Christ, because we have to be like, we have to be Him. We have to let Him grow up in us, because He wants to do the work. Okay? And before you can do a work with the whole church, though, every spark plug has to be in place, every wire. Okay? You might get the kick at be angry at the tyrants because you're not one, that you're a wire. Or you might be uptight at the motor because you're only a spark plug. Or the gasoline because you're just oil. Find out where you're supposed to be so we can all function together, you know, smoothly. Amen?
Amen.
In the Spirit. Okay, then what?
That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, read what I said up to that point.
Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe, just because someone has told us something different, or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth.
Did you ever hear that before?
Yes.
Yeah, people believe lies all the time. There's people in the church that come and tell some kind of lie, and because the people are not mature, they don't rebuke them or reprove them, they just believe it. Because they're still like children. You need to mature. Kiddies, amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, amen?
Amen.
Important parts, whether you're a wire or a tire. I don't want to go down the street with only three tires, amen?
Amen.
I want a left one in the front and a right one on the front. And a left one in the back and a right one on the back. Okay? Want seats too. So I'm comfortable with that. And a steering wheel. Amen?
Amen.
And windshield wipers in case it rains. Everything's important, isn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't seem important if it's not raining. But when it rains or snows, oh, you thank God for those windshield wipers. Right?
Right.
There's emergencies. Amen?
Amen.
Everything's needed. Then what?
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part.
Okay, read what I said to that point, up to that point.
Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly.
It's perfect. Just like a car that runs, it's perfect, you know, if all the members are there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take any of the members away from a car, do you?
No.
because you want to get someplace. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you want to get to heaven, everybody has to be apart in their right place. All right? We don't want to put the spark plug by that where the tire goes, or the tire where the spark plug goes. Amen?
Amen.
This foolish talk? No. I see a lot of tires where they're supposed to be spark plugs. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see anyone like that? No? Well, you don't want to rat on each other, huh? Okay, what else?
As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love.
Full of the keeping of the commandments of the Lord. Okay, then what? So you finish off there, go to the King James.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart.
Okay, read up to that point.
Okay. Living as children of light. With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused.
The ungodly being Gentiles. They're hopelessly confused. They're in darkness. Amen?
Amen.
When you're in dark, it's hopeless. That's why we're supposed to read the Word, because the Word is light. Amen?
Amen.
That shines into a room and takes away the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, some people don't like the light. I do. Okay, then what else?
Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God, because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways.
Immoral means sex. I mean, everything is sex today. Okay, sex is all right, only in marriage. Amen?
Amen.
And marriage is where two people walk together, their minds are the same. If your mind is different than your husband's, then you're not married. How can two walk together? What if they what? Don't first agree? Amen?
Amen.
If you don't agree, well, then you're not married. Right there is an automatic divorce. Okay? Or if you don't agree with the Lord. I mean, if a husband and wife get married and the woman commits adultery, that's divorce. It's automatic. Amen?
Amen.
That's what God said. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you don't think the same way, then you're not married. Or your mind is on somebody else or something else other than the Lord. How's that marriage? Amen?
Amen.
On immorality. It's moral to have sexual relationships in marriage. And it's a wonderful thing when two people think alike, and they are alike, and they're called to one purpose, and their minds are not directed somewhere else. That's beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
And that's perfectly condoned by the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Lord commands people to have sex, but not the way people are having it today. Unmarried people do. Adultery. Fornication, showing their bodies off sexually in front of cameras, and terrible. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness.
Immoral ways, in other words. Lasciviousness is like immorality. Then what?
To work all uncleanness with greediness.
Okay, what did I say there?
Their minds are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed.
Okay. All kinds of impurity. Lust after something else. other than what God called them to lust after. They can lust, I can lust after the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And His Word, which everything that He condones is marvelous. He gives you way more than you ever thought you'd have. Or anything that you can possibly imagine, because it's a lot more than you can see with the eye. Amen?
Amen.
It's an eternity of gifts. Okay, then what?
But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ.
You were taught to be immoral when you were taught about Christ, or to commit adultery or fornication, were you?
Mm-hmm.
Or to be impure. But the Lord says to purify your hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him.
And well, you're King James now, right?
Yes.
You have to tell the folks.
Okay. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Read that much more, I say.
Since you have heard all about him and have learned about the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and give your former way of life, which is rotten through.
And rotten through and through. It's your former life, and the things that you meditate on other than the Lord is rotten through and through. Rotten. In the eyes of the Lord, it is rotten. Okay, then what?
And what? And full of lust and deception.
Yeah, because, you know, lust is actually the devil deceiving you into thinking that what he has out there in the world for you is better than what the Lord gives you. That's deceiving, you know? Because a lot of the people, when they first get saved, they've been into every kind of sex and everything there was out there, and they said it was garbage. It was rotten through and through. Amen?
Amen.
And that they never really enjoyed themselves. And so the devil makes people lust about those things after they're saved a few years, and they start beginning to believe a lie. They start beginning to believe that there's something out in that world, when the people out there know very good and well that it is nothing. It's rotten through and through. It's like eating a rotten sandwich. Say, like, you see a dead bird, a sparrow that's rotten, and then you throw it in between two pieces of bread and start eating it. That's what it is out there. You can feel the bones crunching in the neck, and the feathers are not tasty. And then you get to the innards, and that's rotten. That's what deception is. It looks good, huh? A dead bird doesn't look good, but all those birds out there that you're lusting after, if you are lusting after anyone out there, are dead in their sins and trespasses, and you want to partake of them? No, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be desiring to win their souls. Amen?
Amen.
Bring them back to life. Type thing. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, they're dead birds. You want to go and taste of them. I hope I've made my point. Mm-hmm. Women with women. Men with men. What do you suppose is when the big ramp of the kingdom of heaven, the beams of light start coming down from heaven and the whole heavens open up with the glory, with 10,000, with Christ and 10,000s of his saints on white horses, and the whole world is going into a world quake, and the heavens open up like a big scroll, and they see heaven up there, and these people that are women having sex with each other, and men having sex with each other, and women committing adultery on their husbands, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to be like a bunch of worms squirming and realize, and then the Lord's going to, it's going to, the deception will go away, and they'll see that they've been partaking in dead bird rotten through and through sandwiches. And then they see what the saints get, and they see them lifting up into the kingdom of heaven, and they shame us all over them because of the disgusting things that they do. And they're going to be screaming and praying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. The Lord never called you to be a lustful person. But you have to stay in the Spirit in order to not be. Right?
Right.
At least you're agreeing with the Lord. Right? You say right, right, mm-hmm. Right, 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 right. Okay, then what?
King James verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
Yeah, corrupt, rotten. Amen? Something that's corrupt is rotten. It's deceitful lusts. Anytime you're lusting over anything in that world, you're just being deceived by the devil. Wherever you're lusting after anything that doesn't belong to you, that's covetousness, that's idolatry. Well, but we don't like what the Lord has given. You got exactly what you're supposed to have. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord never called us to get what we want, but what's good for us. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe your husband doesn't want you either. But if he's a man of the Lord, he tolerates you and loves you. Okay? And you should reverence your husbands. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord only wants that which is the best for you, not what you want, especially when it's the devil making you want something because you've accepted his lust. Okay? Then what?
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes, renew yourself by reading the Word every day. Otherwise, you're going to fall away. All right? You're going to miss a day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord, and it's a wonderful day if you're in the Spirit, I mean, because He's going to do something with you, okay, and for you. And you'll do something for someone else. Amen?
Amen.
You think I'm doing something for someone else?
Yes.
Yes, but only because of the Word. I mean, not because of any good thing that I've ever done in my life. Only because I'm afraid to go to hell, and I want to do what the Lord says. Because I tremble at His Word. Paul said, after preaching, he said if he fell away, if he wouldn't continue preaching, he said, woe be unto me. Amen?
Amen.
Because I too would be a castaway. In other words, I'd be thrown into hell too. Because I know better than to stop serving the Lord or to not serve the Lord at all. I have to stay in the Spirit, Paul said. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I preach the gospel, amen?
Amen.
To others. Because if I don't have any mercy on the people in the world and in the church, then I won't receive any mercy at judgment, amen, on the day of redemption. And I certainly will not be redeemed. There's a day of redemption, amen?
Amen?
That's what it says in this chapter. Okay, then what?
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
True holiness, not lustfulness. Okay, then what?
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor.
Yeah, don't be a liar. Because if you're lying, you're not in the body. You're not supposed to lie one to another. Because if you're a member of the body of truth, then you tell the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
For we are members one of another.
Yeah, we're joined together. It's a car. All those parts out there, they're all part of that car out there. Amen?
Amen.
So the spark plug shouldn't say, I'm a good spark plug, if it's dead. Right? We'll take it over to the analyst and find out who's dead in there. Not in Christ is the analyst. Amen?
Amen.
He knows who's dead and who's alive and who's lukewarm and who's red hot and those that are not icy cold and those who are antichrist. Can't fool the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You can't shuck the Lord, oh, don't you know? Okay, then what else?
Be ye angry and sin not.
Right, be angry. I mean, be lawfully angry. Don't be angry at what God tells you to do. Be angry at the devil, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Don't go to sleep still being angry. Amen? Then what?
Neither give place to the devil.
Okay, read up to that point in mind.
There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteousness, holy and true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth.
Yeah, your neighbor is one another, amen? And also, you know, where we come in contact. Then when the Lord told us who the neighbor was, right? The Good Samaritan. Then what else?
So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you.
Yeah, ungodly anger is what I should have put there. Because it does say be angry at Satan. Amen. But sin not. Then what else?
Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry.
Right. Don't be angry at God and go to sleep because he might take you out. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be angry at God because he puts you in a position that you don't like? Or he puts you somewhere for sure and you don't like it? You're angry at God? He might take you out. Because what good will you be to the body of Christ if you're angry at where the Lord put you? Or he might, for a while, put you in the belly of a whale and with the seaweed around your neck and the putrefying digestive enzymes in the whale's guts and the stench inside there, and have these digestive enzymes start working on your skin to digest you, like with some cancer or something. Don't be angry at the Lord. Be angry at the devil, but sin not. Don't be angry at God. All right? Because you're, according to the Lord, if you do that, then you're nothing. You're chaff. But he was good enough to die for you, and he want you to know that he thought you was something. Amen?
Amen.
Enough to pay a big price for you, his life. Then what?
For unjust anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil.
Yeah, anger at the Lord gives the devil a big foothold with you. Then what? I don't like the way my husband treats me. Maybe you deserve what you get, huh? He doesn't kiss me. Well, if you're a serpent, who wants to kiss a serpent? Amen? I've never been able to bring myself to kiss a serpent on the lips. A snake. Then what?
If you are a thief...
Or a devil, you know, like if someone is doing demonic things, who wants to kiss that person? Amen?
Amen.
That would be lusting after the devil. Okay, then what?
If you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, then give generously to others who are in need.
Okay, read up to that point, King James.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Then what? Okay, keep going. King James.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
Yeah, what is corrupt communication? It's talking about things evil about the Word of God or the things of the Lord, and not talking about the things of God. evil, it's corruptible things. Amen. Okay, then what?
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
You can tell your wife that you love her and make her know that you love her and things like that, but you're not supposed to corrupt her by letting her think otherwise. Okay, then what else?
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
See, you're sealed until the day of redemption, okay? So there is a day of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor...
Against God. Then what?
And evil speaking be put...
Against God. Then what?
Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Okay, now finish off this.
Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your word will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption.
Right, He guaranteed it. What is the guarantee? Told you yesterday. He gave you His seal, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
In other words, as a official in the government seals a letter so that you know it came from them, or a document, the Lord seals His children with the Holy Spirit. He gives them the power to be able to keep His commandments so that... they can give glory to the Lord in the world, that there's somebody in this world that is giving glory to God, because we know we give glory to God because we know that this person has God living in them. They couldn't be doing what they're doing if they didn't have the seal of God on them. The natural person, especially a person like myself, the way I lived before, would never spend time writing messages or bringing messages, okay? So there's something there that I do that gives glory to God. Because if the people only knew what I was like before, you know, that's not Tony. That's not him right now. That's right, I'm a new creature. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not Bernie Lazar Hoffman either, or Bucky Raymond, or Marcus Abad, or any of those guys. This is a new creature talking to you, coming straight right from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that gives glory to the Lord. Amen? That
Amen.
There's a change in a person. They're not like the world. I don't want to go out in the world and do the things they do out there. There's nothing that I see that entices me. I pray, and everyone should pray for those people that are depraved and out there that are sinners and that have been deceived with deceitful lusts. And you can look in their faces and you can tell that they're like dead and they know it. I feel sorry for them. I want to lead them to the Lord out of captivity. Amen. I want the Lord in me to do that, so that this is good works in a world where there are no good works. Amen?
Amen.
I feel sorry for people that are caught in the web of Satan. Okay, and continue on.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander.
That the Lord, the what?
Harsh words and slander, as well as all types.
Yeah, don't be slandering people, talking behind people's back. You got something to say, say it to them. Amen?
Amen.
Don't lie about them. This is the body of Christ. Christ doesn't have any working members like that. If you own a Rolls Royce, you don't have any Pinto parts in it, right, do you?
No.
It won't work, right?
Right.
You know what a Pinto is? It's like a real cheap car. Or a Nash. Or an Edsel. Okay, and then what else?
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other.
Yeah, malicious, like, you know, scheming on somebody to do something about them or to bring a false report on them. That's malicious. Skeevy, you know, sinful. Then what else?
Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 4, the book of Ephesians. So we've done chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. We did 6, so all we've got is one more chapter, chapter 5, in which I will endeavor to bring to you tomorrow, mañana. All right? God bless you. Till next time. Amen.